Good morning, everyone. Isn't it wonderful that God is on our side? And and one of the greatest ways he's done that for us is through his son, Jesus Christ. And did you know that Jesus Christ is the subject of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? And there's a thing called Jesus Christ is a red thread. And I happened to be reading it the other day. And what it does is it shows in each book of the Bible the different attributes of Jesus Christ. And I got to thinking, we've been studying the Epistle of John, and I got to thinking, well, I wonder what he is in the Epistle of John. And it says that he is our advocate. Isn't that cool? So here it is, my dear children. 1 John 2:1, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if any man does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So let me just explain to you really quick what an advocate is. That is someone who speaks for, supports, and represents a person. And in a court of law, they argue in favor of the person. So that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now let's look down at the next verse in verse 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. And it says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now a propitiation... is a sacrifice, literally like an atonement. And Jesus Christ is that atonement. So he is our advocate, and he was the atonement for our lives. So what I want to do this morning is take a look at exactly how Jesus Christ fulfilled that. And in doing so, I want us to see how he took care of every aspect of our lives. There's not one detail of our lives that his sacrifice didn't take care of. And I believe it's so important for as believers to understand that. That is our foundation, and then that Christ in us is the springboard. So we're going to look at that this morning. There's one thing I really want you to understand, and that is God honors us because he honors his son. God honors us because he honors his son for what he did for us. So the best, one of the best, I think, ways of describing what Jesus Christ did for us is to look at five offerings from the Old Testament, okay? And Jesus Christ fulfilled every one of these offerings. So, and before I get into the offerings, I just want to acknowledge Reverend Ken Petty. He did a wonderful study on this in our identification with Christ, where he lays out those offerings, and I'm going to refer to his seminar a little bit here and there. So those offerings are, number one is a burnt offering, number two is a sin offering, number three is a guilt offering, number four is the peace offering, and number five is the meal offering. So let's go ahead, and the first one we're going to look at is in Genesis 8. Genesis 8, verse 20 and 21. Now this is interesting. When this offering was given, this involves Noah and the flood. And when this offering was given was when the waters had subsided, and Noah went out and set foot on dry land. And the first thing he did was give a burnt offering. So this is the first place that it's used in the Bible. Genesis 8, verse 20. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and he offered a burnt offering on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. Now, the burnt offering was done before any other offering. That was the first offering that was given. And it was a sacrifice where the whole animal was sacrificed, the whole thing. And the animal was burnt on an altar, and the smoke from the offering would go up. And to God, that was like a sweet smelling savor, that smoke. And it's wonderful to note that it signified a total, unreserved giving of self to God, obedient even to the death of the cross. That's what our Lord did. And where we could not ourselves or haven't been able to, he did it for us. He gave his whole self. So that is the burnt offering. Let's turn to Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. In Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, it says, Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. See, God so loved that he gave. Jesus Christ so loved that he also gave. And this offering of himself for us was as a sacrifice to God. So that's the burnt offering. The second offering is... back. It's called the sin offering. The sin offering is what you do externally, how you actually sin, you know, whatever it might be, but you're actually physically doing it. And that offering is for that. It's for acts of sin that are external. In this offering, all of the blood was poured out. And Jesus fulfilled this when he poured out his soul life. That's how he that correlates with that offering. It's interesting. Let's turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 53. The next four offerings are in Ephesians 53. And this, I'm sorry. Isaiah, I'm in the wrong time zone. Isaiah 53. So Isaiah 53, and in verse 5, it says, But he was wounded for our transgressions. Okay? That's where it refers to our transgressions. And then in verse 12, it said, Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. So here's an interesting thing about transgression. In order to transgress legally, the law has to be written down. So who was it written down for in the Old Testament? Old Testament, the Israelites. So he fulfilled this offering for them. But what about the Gentiles? It wasn't written for them, was it? So they didn't transgress. What they did is they sinned. It's referred to as sinning. And it's because in every man, God has a law of conscience. And that law is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, and to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So when that's violated, they're sinning. And so Jesus Christ covered it for the Israelites and the Gentiles. He covered it for everybody. And either way, transgressions or sinning like the Gentiles did, it all led to death. And why? Because Adam gave us death through his disobedience, and it's that that nature of death. So Jesus Christ died for that, and that is the sin offering. The next is the trespass or the guilt offering. And let's look in Isaiah 53 in verse 5, and it says, he was bruised for our iniquities. And in verse 6, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So it's interesting in this one. Let me turn to my notes here. The word bruised in Isaiah literally means to be crushed with a weight of, or a burden. Iniquities refers to internal sins, perverseness, and guilt. This particular offering was for a good part for guilt, for the guilt, for the things inside. So you have the things you do outside, but it starts from inside. And there's guilt and shame and, you know, those type of things associated with that. That's what he died for. And he was bruised for our iniquity. It says, it's a distortion of heart and attitude. It is more than just what one does, but rather what one is. The Companion Bible defines it as a course of bad conduct flowing from the evil desires of a fallen nature. It is the entire wickedness and guilt we have as children of Adam. And Knox translates it as the guilt of ours crushed us down. It can be a very heavy thing that people carry in their lives. And he understood that because he carried that. You know, have you ever heard that saying, I feel your pain? Well, he did. He did feel our pain. He can understand, he relates to that. And in verse 6 of Isaiah 53, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity, that internal struggle, iniquity of us all. So not only did he die for the acts of sin, the outward, but on Calvary, he actually became sin. He became one with us, dead in trespasses and sins, so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. So, yeah, amen. So that's the trespass or the guilt offering. The fourth one is the peace offering, and it is procured for us to give us a sound mind, a peaceful mind, and in doing so, it restores broken fellowship with God. It helps us to be reconciled to God, to have perfect fellowship. And that's in your mind. That's in your mind. And he died for that. Let me go to my notes here. It says in Isaiah 53, verse 5, if you want to look at that, it says, "The chastisement of our peace was upon him. His mental distress overcame our lack of peace and unsound minds. He disciplined his mind by learning, and he arrived at a state of order and obedience through training and control." He had to control his mind throughout his life, and especially toward the end of his life when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew what was ahead of him. He knew what he was going to suffer, not only physically and mentally. And he went three times to the Father and said, "Father, if you can, take this away from me." But each time he said, "No, not my will, but your will." And when he went to the cross, don't you know that God was with him? He was ministering to him. He was bolstering him and strengthening him so that he could go through that mentally. You know, the battle is in the mind, right? So we've got to get it right in our minds and put that word on. And, you know, that word, in verse 7, 53:7, he was oppressed, which means harshly treated, and he was afflicted, but he submitted voluntarily. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Never said a word. He knew what he had to do, and he stayed focused on God and on his word and what his mission was, and he endured it. He endured it for us. The word travail, in verse 11, it says, "He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied." The word travail means labor, toil, struggle, and mental anguish. What Jesus Christ endured mentally was just as excruciating as the physical torture he went through. So that's a really big deal for us. You know, all of these offerings, by the way, show the completeness of what Jesus Christ did for us. It affects every part of our life. And so each one of those kind of works back and forth. So, and I'll show you that in particular with the last one. The last offering is the meal offering, number 5. It was a very, very simple offering. They just offered flour and oil. That's it. And it represents man's earthly life, but it also represents his body. So let me read a little bit about this. It says, another offering was the meal offering, translated meat offering in the King James Version. It's mistranslated there. It was an offering of flour and oil representing man's earthly life, which was nourished and sustained by his daily bread. You know, Jesus Christ, in his ministry, every day he took care of those men, women, and children that he came across. He fed them, he healed them, and he tenderly took care of them. And because of this sacrifice and this offering that he fulfilled, all of our daily needs are taken care of. You know, all of our daily needs, whether it be a job or food or whatever, he took care of it through this offering. And in Isaiah, let's start in Isaiah 52 in verse 14. And it explains this, what Jesus Christ went through and what this offering means. In Isaiah 52:14, it says, "As many were astonished," that means kind of shocked and in awe, "at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Basically, he was so tortured that he was unrecognizable as a person. That's how tortured he was. And then down on 53, 2 and 3, it says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him, because he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him." They were so shocked by what they saw. He was despised and he was esteemed, and we esteemed him not. And then in verse 5, it says at the end of the verse, "And with his stripes we are healed." And it says in Peter, we were healed. And it's because that offering was fulfilled. So, you know, again, I can say, he feels your pain. Seriously, physically, he felt your pain. And he died so that you could be made whole, but made healed, so that you could be healed. And that is part of daily life too, isn't it? We run into challenges where, you know, we have physical challenges, emotional challenges, all of that. He died for all of that. So in closing, I'd like us to turn to 1 John 4, 8 through 10. You know, so much of 1 John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John is available. The sweetness of it, the love of God. You know, when we get out of fellowship, we can get back. I mean, all of those things are addressed in there. And it's all because of Jesus Christ. It's all of what because of what he accomplished. 1 John 4, verses 8 through 10. It says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent," excuse me, "his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or sacrifice for our sins." So going forward, it says that we might live through him. We have the background of what Jesus Christ did for us fully. He fulfilled it all for every aspect of our life, as we've seen in those five offerings. So now it says that we might live through him. So let's go forth with Christ in us, with that in our background, and stand for God because of Jesus Christ and that Christ in us. So I'm going to go ahead. I'll go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are just so, so thankful to you for your great love for us, and that you loved us first, and that you gave us your Son. And we have absolutely nothing to worry about because we look to you and trust you in all things, which is what you want us to do, Father. So we thank you for this day ahead. We thank you for each life here and those that are calling in, Father, for your great blessings and your great love. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Amen.
Okay, well, thank everybody on the conference call here for calling in and listening. That was a great teaching, dear. It's such a reminder that, you know, Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ did. It just kind of blows me away because I know I couldn't have done it. So anyway, let's don't forget about the lemons in the background. on the table back there. And so everybody have a blessed day. All right, see ya.